Blog Talk Radio.
Show. First of all, I want to thank everybody for their prayers and their attention toward our family and the loss of our first cousin, Tiffany Watson Jones. And I want to thank Mario Coleman for filling in last week. I believe he did a wonderful job. And my understanding is that we had a wonderful show. We are airing live from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Today is February 4th, 2009. And the topic of our show is going to be a little bit diversified today. But in lieu of all of that, we also want to talk about the segment. And a lot of people feel that the coalition is fit to only deal with construction issues, but we have a social, we're building social capital networks, human capital networks, and financial capital networks through this social broadcasting level that we've earned a place in history. And speaking of history, we also would like to send condolences to the Fuller family for the loss of the founder of Habitat Humanity, Mr. Mildred Fuller, from the Fuller Center. Mr. Fuller was 74 years old, and he passed 2 days ago. And he is the reason why Habitat Humanity does exist. He also, without any light, having been brought on him, but I would like to do that today, is to state that Mr. Fuller, back before desegregation was even a word, had desegregated a place called Quilla Farms down in South Georgia. And because of his light and because of his vision, Mr. Fuller resurrected this Habitat for Humanity with Jimmy Carter when he became president, but it was already in existence. So we have one of the callers that's going to come on and talk about some of his history, about the Fuller Center for Housing. He has done a tremendous job in the urban communities to provide affordable housing and dignity in the community for over 50 years. He is an unsung hero, and we would just like to send our prayers out to the Fuller family as well as the Fuller Center for Housing. And this is what God had us to do in our transitioning, that we're remembered and his I didn't meet him, I didn't know him, but I know what he has allowed vehicles and bridges to be built for people of color. So we want to again state our condolences as a tradeswomen construction organization. We feel very proud to be on some of the projects that he and his organization has given us opportunity to be on. And also would like to go over some of the things that are going to take place on the show today. One thing is the Construction Claims Monthly is a publication dedicated exclusively to solving the problems of construction contracting. And the coalition has enrolled in getting information regarding different cases that prompt a lot of information for FYI purposes, and some of it would fit some of the things that some of the contractors may be experiencing. So in between some of our time frames, we want to talk about that and cite a couple of cases regarding that. Also, as we have moved further into this year, the coalition has taken on a different look, a complete different opportunity to work across the lines and create our Youth Bill Foundation. Our multimedia program is starting to accelerate into a level of one of the things that we're going to be doing that we're actually working on right now currently is releasing the documentary regarding the stimulus packet and what we understand to be true, the barriers in which we face if that stimulus package get released in the format that it is been placed in. No types of reforms have been made. The fiscal responsibilities are so high that contractors, women or minorities, cannot qualify to even be on projects. We're in the middle of a fiscal meltdown, and the state is pre-qualifying contractors at the level of as if we were back in 2004 or something like that. The levels are four times what anybody else could mass put together and qualify to be on projects. So you only have maybe 14 contractors throughout the different areas of the country that we've noted that are continuing to folks who are getting all the contracts. So if this stimulus package reach the states, especially Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, Ohio, Kentucky, Minnesota, then you will really see more crime go up because people are waiting for that package, those packages to be released. So we're doing a documentary, and we're going to expressly put that in front of not just Barack Obama, but we're going to put it in front of the entire system. And we're going to do that by mass distribution. We have one of our new partners that is going to be coming online and talking about a very new venture that the coalition is going to get involved with, and that is producing a documentary, actually producing a film, going into mass distributions on sessions and how to do workshops, and so that people can have ways of understanding how to maneuver within the construction industry. And I want to thank all the callers for coming on today. Welcome, callers, to the forum. Caller from 219.
Hi, how are you today?
Okay, caller from 646. Okay, caller from 952. Area code.
Hi, how you doing, Karima?
All right, caller from 651.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, caller from 404.
Hi, Karima, it's Michelle.
Okay, Michelle, we just wanted to send our condolences to the Fuller family. I just kind of gave everybody an overture of the actual, you know, historical feats that this man has performed in the community, in the urban community, and within just a mass amount of things that has been like an unsung hero to our community and to all the residential and all the things that he's done in affordable housing. And I wanted you pretty much to kind of, if you don't mind, maybe talk a little bit about Mr. Fuller and what he has done in the past 50-plus years here on this planet.
Well, it's so amazing. People still associate Habitat for Humanity with Jimmy Carter, who actually was not the founder of Habitat. Millard and Linda Fuller founded Habitat for Humanity many years ago. And in their quest to provide housing for people who couldn't afford housing or couldn't afford decent housing, in their tenure with Habitat, which ended just a few years ago, they built over 300,000 houses worldwide, which is quite a testimony in itself. And the past 3 years, they have spent they have engaged a number of people in a new mission called the Fuller Center for Housing, and there are over 1,000 affiliates already globally just in the last 3 years doing the same kinds of things that Habitat is doing. In addition to that, Millard impacted in South Georgia some things in some very powerful ways.
Unprecedented.
Yes. In about 43 years ago, he was engaged down at Koinonia Farms in Americus, Georgia, with the work that they were doing in educating people about farming and community. And in doing so, he brought African Americans and Caucasians together at this farm to work together, to eat together, to play together, something that was unprecedented in neighborhoods and communities around the globe. And it was so interesting this morning, the founder of Koinonia Farms, Clarence Jordan, passed away a lot of years ago, and he was Millard's mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandson got up to speak today and shared the story about how Mamie, the cook at Koinonia Farms, used to not eat with the residents and the workers at the farm, and people who came from all over the globe would come and eat there and stay there and work there and build, learn how to build community. Well, Mamie would sit down to eat until one day, his grandfather, who was Caucasian,
mm-hmm.
came into the kitchen and said, "Mamie, you need to come out here and eat with us. you need to sit down and eat with us. And she started weeping right there and then because she was so humbled by the fact that she was invited to sup, and she was a cook, and she was African-American in a white community.
And South Georgia of all communities.
South Georgia of all communities, exactly.
And I've been through Americas, and I tell you, it maybe that's where the very trend of some of the things that we would have never thought that has taken place. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the next transformation that the Georgia residents are going to see are going to be some of the homes that the Fuller Center is actually putting people in that have lost their homes or have no place to stay, and they're doing such tremendous missionary work in regards to especially the crisis that we have with the foreclosures and folks losing their jobs. I had a chance to meet Jeff Mitchell, who is I left him a voicemail, and I just wanted to kind of let everybody know that they are putting people, all types of people, in housing all over the state of Georgia as well. Am I not correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in Georgia, as I mentioned, there are 1,000 communities across the globe that affiliates have started operations for the Fuller Center for Housing, and that's just in the last 3 years. So it has spread. And what's so amazing to me is, you know, understanding the impact that he had at Koinonia Farms that nobody ever really talks about. So being in an inner circle today and hearing that impact that hasn't been communicated to the world, that's so powerful. It needs to be communicated.
Oh, it
and then,
will. It absolutely will, because this,
oh, yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off, but this is what I've been trying to explain to some of the women that have been calling in or wanting to join or wanting to help. You know, his call was he didn't have to think about what he wanted to do. He just did it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any forethought about all the impacts that this thing was made.
No.
He knew his mission was that, and he did it, and that's
yes.
it. And nobody gave him no grant money back in 40 years ago to do this. He just did it. Because he felt was correct, and when you work on those lines, that makes a great bitter difference. All the bitter difference in the world.
And he and his wife Linda are two of the humblest people that I know. They just have a heart and a passion for people, and he, as I said, he had such a great impact in so many ways, and in fact. There's so many other housing organizations, competitive housing organizations, that got started because of the idea and the structure that he had for Habitat.
Mm-hmm.
We have Rebuilding Together organizations globally now. We have housing ministries globally. People caught on to the concept and replicated it, and it's because of the impact that he had. He was not exclusive in what he did.
Exactly.
He wanted to replicate himself many, many times, so he sowed a lot of seeds, and he never looked at anybody as competition because we would never run out of houses that we needed to build because the need never goes away.
Never, absolutely. And that love that you said the word a competition. You know, a lot of women, and I have to bounce this back off of understanding our goals as a coalition, understanding our goals as people. You know, time on this planet is just a very small, minute time. And we don't have a lot of time to say, I was going to do this, I was going to do that. You know, we have to move forward and leap forward because, you know, he led his fight and he has left, you know, over a million people, I can imagine, or better, in a better place. In a better spirit and in a better time. So we
absolutely
appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate that we have an opportunity to work hopefully completely directly with the Fuller Center on the projects that you have coming up. And we're certainly are there for the center and for some of your projects that you have as well. So we want to thank you.
Very honored. Very honored to be working with you all, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight and to share a little bit of history and information about somebody who's been so impactful and valuable in the globe.
And I know you just got in, Michelle, and I know you're probably tired, so I certainly I certainly appreciate you just chiming in, and I'm everything has this complete flow of spirituality. I called you pulling up in the driveway. A lot of people say, "What is your show going to be about?" I'm like, "Really, I don't know." So we move in the spirit. This is a journey that I know that I'm hoping that I'll see come to light. But you know, when God calls me home, I would have closed my eyes and been just as proud as he was when God called him home, because he did his work. He didn't have to look back and guess whether or not he did something right. He don't have to guess. And I certainly appreciate it. Michelle, please get some rest, and we certainly thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, that's a tremendous situation. It's very heartfelt to know that, you know, when this coalition was birthed, and our mission is a charge to keep, I have a God to glorify who gave his son, my soul, to save. And I try to get a very strong understanding about what the coalition NCWCC actually stands for. It stands for more than construction. It stands for more than our health and wellness piece. It stands for more than that. We have a corporate social responsibility to our community to jump in anywhere we see a good fight. I told my mother this a long time ago. When I was a little girl, I used to come back and forth to Georgia, and I remember my grandfather, and we'd sit on the porch, and my grandmother, we used to drink Michelob beer when I was about 7, 8 years
Ooh.
Old. And there ain't nothing she can do about it, because they were the boss. And my grandfather told me, he said, "Baby," he said, "when you see a good fight," he said, "just jump in." He said, "all you got to do is start swinging." He said, "you'll know who was right and what's wrong." And I've always remembered that. And that has been my personal passion and my directive. I would love to leave this planet serving and fighting for whatever it is. I don't care if it's running in front of a car to snatch a child out and getting hit. We have to die no matter what. That's inevitable. That's the common thing that we have. But how we die and how we live is what this coalition is. And I met with some of our members yesterday, and they said, what kind of benefits are we going to get out of about being in the coalition? I said, what kind of benefits are you getting going to doing everything else you're doing? So my thing of it is, there is no organization that has the level of national expertise, the national social network within our industry. It was asked and said to me at a meeting, because I usually do not do a lot of networking in Georgia, because we're headquarters, it doesn't mean that this is one of our primary areas that we want to try to focus in. But God has told me differently, so therefore we're starting to roll up our sleeves and see the fight that we must take on. But they asked me, they said, "well, we've talked to a few people, and they don't know who the coalition is." I said, but the Southeastern carpenters know who we are. The tradeswomen know who we are. The Associated Builders and Contractors know who we are. The Associated General and Contractors know who we are. No, if you're not in our industry, you won't know us. If we said Mr. Fuller passed, a lot of people wouldn't know that. They wouldn't even care about that. But this is what we chose to do, so the people that's supposed to know us. The folks that don't know us and want to get in this industry, I feel sorry for them, because they have not built the network within a structure that they're trying to. They can't create their own network. The construction industry has standards, and it has had standards since the first pyramid was built, actually when the caveman came in.
and dug out the little hole, he knew what he wanted. He said, that's the room for the baby. That's the cave to the right for the child. You know what I'm saying? So it's always been some kind of structure. So we can't go back into something that is the foundation. I mean, we can change policies that's been created that's unfairly, but you can't change the people who are in charge of the infrastructure. You can work with them like we're doing. And if you look on our site, ladies and gentlemen, you will see that the coalition premises is to work within the infrastructure that has been built. So we can proudly say that we are signatory to the Carpenters that has a open door policy for any one of our women who want to do anything in construction. And that says a lot. And we have training that a lot of people don't have to pay for their kids to be able to go and learn the proper construction trades and a journeyman's card that will take them anywhere in the country. So I want to try to open up the call for some of the folks that's on the call. Caller from 646. Okay. Michelle from 952. Okay.
Yeah, hi, I had you on mute.
Okay.
Karima. Right now I'm not ready to chime in just yet. But I will at some point, okay? I'm so sorry.
Okay, that's fine. We'll keep you on the line.
Okay, I'm still here now.
Okay, great. We'll keep you on the line. Okay. Well, caller from 219.
Yes.
What is your opinion about D-47 years ago you were young person.
I'm still a young person, yes.
Yes, you are. But can you imagine having that at 47 years ago sitting at the table with all different races like that?
No, I could not imagine that happening 47 years ago. I don't think it could have happened that many years ago in our area.
But it did, and that says a lot.
It was very quietly done.
Okay.
It wasn't something that they was broadcasting from the rooftops.
I got you. Quiet as kept then, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, all right. We certainly appreciate that part. Got our next guest on the show that just came on. And this is one of our new partners, very exciting man that we were very proud to talk with and speak about. And I want to let you know that this is a second-generation brother who father started the Nigerian Nollywood in Nigeria that has inspired him, as all of us young people who want to move forward in our parents' footsteps, to start his own studio. And I'd like to thank Namsoon, sir, for coming on. Thank you, sir, for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Okay. Why don't you tell everybody about a little bit about your father and what you know? I know what inspired you, but I don't think everybody knows the history of Nigerian movies and studios that sprung up and created this course that you are on and that you have been, you know, every time I talk to you, I get the stumbling. A lot of people don't notice that, but I do that. I'm so excited about you and just allowing us another vehicle in order to transform the coalition into a international, national organization with good visibility. So could you tell us a little about your history and all that?
Well, probably 28 or just like America.
Could you speak up a little bit louder? Because it's kind of.
Am I heard now?
I know your voice is a lot louder. It's kind of faint.
Okay, 28 years ago.
Okay.
Nigeria was going through a situation of, joblessness, people going to school, getting education, but coming out without jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the film industry there. Now, you see, just like everywhere around the world looks up to Hollywood to lay the system, the image, everything. The world looks up to Hollywood for the movie industry. So there in Nigeria, you had thousands of young graduates coming out of colleges and waiting on Hollywood. After a while, the university systems kind of felt graduating people with degrees in film, but them not having jobs was counterproductive. So there was a movement to close the departments of film in most universities because it was like, you're graduating all these people and they're not having jobs. So why do they keep going to school? Maybe we should put them into economics or finance or other fields of medicine. So at the point of almost losing his job, my dad, the late Professor Emmanuel David Atan, and another professor, Professor Edemili, started retooling and retraining their students, encouraging their students to take the local stories that they had and also to take the home camcorders and film the stories using their education as the background to knowledge, film these stories and put them out with the hope that their people will buy these movies. Well, that was 28 years ago. Today, that industry that started 28 years ago has become the third largest movie industry in the world, called Nollywood, creating over $300 million per year in revenue to various producers, directors, and actors. So, you know, just like in everything, when it starts from your home, it's like you really don't believe much in it. That's where I fall to. I fall into that category. Because my dad was spearheading that industry, I didn't really believe it will amount to much. So my eye was still on Hollywood. 10 years ago, I found an opportunity of coming to the United States to pursue my vision of Hollywood. Well, 4 years, 5 years down the line, that vision did not turn into any financial reward. So what then happened was that I realized that, hey, I'm in Atlanta. And the same things that were applicable out there in West Africa were applicable here. Students from Clark Atlanta, Emory, Georgia State, various universities are going to school and getting degrees in film, in theater, et cetera. And I've spoken to some of these students, and they tell me, I ask them, how are you told to make money? How are you trained to make money when you have your degree? Most of these students are trained to pitch to Hollywood. That's all the training they get. They're taught how to make movies, then they're taught how to pitch these movies to Hollywood studios.
That's it.
Now, incidentally, Hollywood studios are in, most of them are out in California and other parts of the world.
Right.
But not really in Atlanta. Then there's another situation where the government here has been encouraging by using tax incentives, they have been encouraging Hollywood production companies to move, to come here to use the talent and the locations here to make movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of competition in that. Georgia State started with 20% tax incentives. States like Michigan jumped into the wagon, and now they're giving 45% tax incentives.
Oh, wow.
Alabama is giving tax incentives. Almost every state is giving tax incentives, and most of them are better than what Georgia is offering today. So why would these Hollywood studios really come to Georgia when Michigan is giving them more bonus points for coming there? There's actually a state that I forgot which the exact state, but there's a state a month ago that they're talking about actually paying the salary of the directors.
Wow.
If only they come and produce those movies in their states. Now, at the bottom line, when you look at all that, the only people benefiting is Hollywood. They're going around saving money, using our resources, using our talent.
And our tax dollars.
And our tax dollars. So the idea came, hey, we have all these talents here. We have all the resources here. Why don't we create our movie industry here? So surprisingly, that was the time I looked back to my history And using ideas from my past, using the system that I've already seen work, we introduced and launched Lanawood, which is the new movie industry of the South. Lanawood is totally autonomous on its own. It does not have any, it's not, it can't, we're developing it not as a stepping stone to Hollywood, but as an independent industry, which will create jobs and create opportunities, and most importantly, allow people from this part of the world to be able to package the images that they want to package and put those images out there.
And because those images are diluted based on Hollywood, you've educated me so thoroughly in such a short period of time that all the images that we see are diluted and actually completely directed from out of Hollywood. The way people are supposed to look, the way people are supposed to talk, the way people are supposed to dress, even the mainstream music that they call mainstream. And so with this, you are changing the face of the industry.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, that's our main mission. And apart from changing the face, today we're hearing the stimulus package every day.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's trying to get a piece of it, but unfortunately, most of that money is going to go to things or people that really may not really require it.
Exactly.
So we're here in Atlanta trying to create jobs. Our focus right now is the creation of at least 10,000 local jobs in this new industry. When we talk about local jobs, we're talking about producing, directing, distribution, marketing, editing, fashion, styling, furniture, everything that be visual. Because, you see, a lot of times Hollywood uses its movies to carry a lot of information. That may not have anything directly to do with the movie, but is going to influence our way of life. For example, you watch movies and everybody is eating out in the movie. So what happens when you think of cooking at home? It's like you're old-fashioned. Because the end thing is to eat out. You look at Christmas. Because of Hollywood, most people don't even know what Christmas is all about.
Let me forget.
If you go to somebody and say, "What's Christmas?" Oh, that's the time you get a gift from your family. So because of that, we realize that it's important for us to retool our mentality. It's important for us to retool our community, to change their thinking, change our thinking, get people to think inward, get people to think about what we have, what we can do. Based on our standards, not based on the standards of other people that have never walked our shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the underlying tones in us creating a movie industry, creation of jobs, creation of real opportunities, being able to offer opportunities to local designers here to be able to put their fashion out there and maybe correct the fashion mishaps that we have in our communities.
Oh, yes, because I can't take it anymore. If I see another one of them little girls walk around with them tight jeans on, their belly hanging out, and I can't do it.
No,
I can't. Somebody needs to tell them. That's not cute.
What do you think about the young man with the belt and their ankles?
Did you say where are they at? Did they fall by the ankles? Wow. That's,
Kalina, can I chime in a little bit?
Go ahead.
Those young men get those fashion from, the original came from prison. They thought it was cute and they thought that, they could walk around and look cute. But that's just disrespectful for them and their parents, you know.
I think that the parents who allow their kids to walk out the door should be asked what was on their mind. I don't think
I agree.
Well, a lot of times parents really, you see, that's another thing because we have to use this industry and the tools that industry provides us. To also educate parents about what being a parent is.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that in our communities, most parents are actually friends to their children. So they cannot really influence their children positively.
Friends to their children?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Well, they don't want to be the bad guy. They want to be their friends. And it's a time to be their friends and a time to be a parent.
I know if my mother.
But you can't walk, and you got to teach your young man, he can't walk in an interview with his pants down. You know, I mean, what's going on with our young generation? They think it's cute to walk in with diamond earrings and their pants hanging down and think someone's going to give them a job, should give them a job. They're entitled to. That's what they believe. They're entitled to whatever they can get. They're entitled to.
And that tells them. And what is that? What does that come from? That comes from looking at those some of those videos where they saw this and it's earmarked as being cool because they getting their money. But you work with some of those industry people too as well. They don't walk in there, and when they do business, they don't walk in there looking like that, do they?
No, they don't. No, they don't. But you see, it's part of the selection process because let's say one of our brothers here is selected and shifted to different platform in Hollywood. Now that person is told what to sing, how to sing it, and what sells. I mean, you look at Nelly. His song talking about sliding a credit card on the backside of a female. The radio stations play it. V103 plays it. So you wonder, are there women there at V103 that feel that could be offensive? Or is it just about spinning the song and getting advertisement dollars?
So you guys are setting some standards as well.
So those are the things that we're trying to do. What we really want to do is bring people on board that have standards and could bring those standards and use those standards to influence our communities, also share those standards. So
you certainly...
It may not really be what I personally want, but it's going to be what our community feels is best.
Uh-huh. And that allows our community to have a voice, because I'm sure there's been an outcry of that difference. And so I guess just like when we were talking about the coalition and I told you what our mission was, that one of the hurried levels that we're trying to reach before the stimulus packet gets out is that we do a documentary that has testimonies of individuals who have not, even up to this point, we have, you know, companies that are 40 years old that have been working and still cannot meet the minimum capacity just to bid as a subcontractor. That the financial responsibilities that the state of Georgia and all the other states, southern states, have raised the financial sovereignty and responsibility so high in a financial meltdown that only 14 of the 14 contractors in each state are only qualified to get the work. I don't think that's been brought out, and that's why I know that's not being brought out. That in itself does not serve our community. And if this thing gets out quicker before we get this out to mainstream America and the grassroots, based on what you have shared with us, that the distribution for this documentary is going to be massive based on all the history that you've had and getting things out in the community and the grassroots and all the corner service stations, at the barber shops, at the beauty shops, places where we hang out at. You know, we don't shop in Best Buy like that. You know, when a movie come out, you can go to the corner and get the movie that just came out an hour later.
it also makes the pricing a little bit better.
Exactly.
At the corner store, we can give it to people at $10. But when you switch to Best Buy, Circuit City, and all the corporate structure stores, you're talking about $18.
And it never gets bought.
And it never gets bought. It gets covered up by other Hollywood productions.
So everything is done on purpose.
Yeah, so that's why we feel it's important to create our own outlet that we can service and our community can to those outlets and buy products that promote us.
Mm-hmm.
As we were speaking about the coalition, a documentary is going to be an extensive thing. It's going to be something that's really going to allow us to be able to show people what really is going on, what the real story is. Because a lot of times most people don't know, and the mainstream media might not carry some of this stuff.
They won't carry it. They'll carry it for just a footnote. And there's been women who are just different women from different backgrounds and nationalities that has spoken in front of the Senate committee about the travesty in the Bush administration subsequently falsifying documents of this magnitude, stating that $340 billion, you know, they're trying to do a stimulus package. Well, Bush, they robbed the whole United States of $340 billion in contracting. Stated to the rest of the world that, oh, the women got the $140 billion of it. And then the women said, well, did we get that really? So when they started talking and the dialogue started happening, somebody said, get a calculator. And what came out of that? Only $5 billion. I'm talking about, when I say contract, I'm not talking about construction. We're talking about even the pantyhose, because the federal government buys everything. They're just like a big Walmart. They buy everything. And only $5 billion out of $340 billion. So can you imagine what they're going to do because there's nobody watching the construction industry? Can you imagine how much they're going to steal? That's why they've been quiet in some sense of the word. Can you imagine what they're going to take by the time everybody reacts? Everybody's meeting at the Capitol. Everybody's praying at the Capitol. But that's not gonna change a thing until we get the president to look down and say, hey, this is not right. And you got people that are still blocking that information. But once that information gets, that's why I keep asking you about Chicago, Samson, and these key places, D.C., Ohio, where there's pivotal organizations, tradeswomen organizations that are going to get this out the back door, coming out the back end of and circumventing it around through the masses, and then it will get seen. Because if you market it through Chicago, definitely somebody going to tell somebody to tell Barack, hey, you know what, they playing you again. And I don't think he's going to get embarrassed again. He was like, I don't even have nothing to say with that appointment.
One of the greatest things about technology today, again, I see how we're going to embrace it, especially in this project, to be able to penetrate different communities to really get this next proof about what it's about.
You're fading back out again.
Okay. So we're going to be able to use the Internet to get this message into a lot of communities also.
Right.
To get people thinking. And I'm already seeing that this is going to be a viral video. It's going to be a video that once it hits online, it's going to spread because of the magnitude of information that it's going to have, and also the kind of, you know, people want to be informed of what's going on.
You guys also have a television show yourself as well. You air several television shows as well, right?
What we do actually is help people that have information to put out.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny that we had approached the neighborhood planning unit.
Are you really?
And told them, look, we have a way to help you so that you can get the information out there.
Uh-huh.
But you know what happened?
No, tell me. Please.
Without saying no, they declined. And
wow.
Why did they decline? Because I've attended a lot of these meetings,
mm-hmm.
and I sit down to listen to what goes on. It's almost a situation where everybody's in there for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So by bringing in a webcast to broadcast their meetings live, instead of them seeing it as positive as it could be, you know, for people to be able to call in, I say, hey, this is happening in my community. Can you help? But it was like, no.
Nobody wants transparency.
We don't know if we want to put it out like that.
Yeah, we don't want transparency, and that's what the TRIM campaign is so exciting. That's why it's so exciting about being able to make people responsible toward themselves. And as I tell everybody, everything that has happened from the coalition's building its health and wellness division to our young Youth Build Foundation, to our multimedia program that you and Mario, you guys, I'm sure you guys are going to do a wonderful job in getting our vision out there as we continue to have dialogue and move quickly here in the next 10 to 15 days. Ladies, I certainly want everybody to know that this is real. This has more precedence than anything you will ever see in your life. You do not, and you may not figure this out right now, but you're going to count your blessings. This is your saving grace if we get this when we get this information out. This information is going out one way or the other. It's going to be out, and it's going to be produced within the next 10 to 15 days. It is a huge opportunity to bring visibility, not just to the coalition, but to the stories that have been told. You know, you have one of the founders on AMSA. Ms. Freeman is on the call. That is the chair founding person for the coalition. And then you also have the other chair president of the coalition on. So this is a very great opportunity to present this static footprint to the coalition and let them know how I don't know the word for how capable you are and how capable your whole entire organization is to manifest this into a reality. I certainly had an opportunity to look at some of the online information, and I kept asking you, I said, do you have anything that's mainstream? And you had to say, no, Karima, listen, we're here to help you. What we're showing you is an opportunity to move your coalition, move your vision. This is the vehicle that you need. And so we have that. So I kind of got a very sharp understanding that it's not about what you produced, but it's the vision that you've been able to get other people to get, you know, jump in there and show what their vision is. And that is certainly wonderful to have somebody that is a trendsetter involved with the coalition.
Well, that's one of the things, because you look at Atlanta and we have abundance of talent in Atlanta and Latin. So we have tons of partners that have joined us.
Can you speak up a little bit louder, because it's fading back out again?
Yeah, we have tons of partners that have joined our organization with the hope of help people that want to put out information. You see, these partners that we have are people that are trained, they've been trained to pitch to Hollywood, but Hollywood is not giving them an opportunity.
Okay.
So they're available to serve the coalition. And that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to serve the coalition. They're going to give the coalition an opportunity to take this information to the people. Which is the bottom line, getting this information out there to the people
mm-hmm.
so we can get a quick reaction.
Well, let me ask a caller from 219, do you have any questions or any comments regarding this situation?
Not at this time. I'm just listening, and the information that he's bringing is very powerful information, and it could really help the coalition grow.
Okay, and a caller from 651-233. Okay, these people have folks muted. Caller for 952-281.
Emma.
Yes.
No, I don't have anything to say at this moment, but I will chime back in.
Okay. All right, caller from 952. Okay.
Not right now, Karima. Sorry, I had it on mute. But, yeah, I do plan to chime in at some point today before this call is over, so I apologize.
That's fine. I'm just trying to get around discussion of what you guys are feeling when it comes down to the opportunity to work within this atmosphere. And really need you guys to understand that this is something that no other organization is doing outside probably the NAACP. And they, you know, they've been around, 100 years or so. So we certainly want to thank you for coming on, NAMSA. And since nobody has any conversation about what we're going to do, then we'll just kind of move forward through the show. And
I just wanted to jump in and send my thanks to you also for your time sharing with all of us. We really appreciate it.
Also a valuable opportunity for me to get the word out about Atlanta Wood and the opportunities that we're creating here in Atlanta.
Okay, you got to speak back up. I think you came back out of the
Yes, we're also thankful for being on the show to tell people about the opportunities that we're creating in Atlanta, and we invite people to take advantage of all these opportunities to make this happen. We are building a movie industry here, and in the next 5 years, we're going to have a formidable movie industry right here.
Exactly. This is the stronghold of the black community. There is no other place left. I can only assure you all. There really isn't. Georgia's the last standing point. I certainly want to share with you that our visibility is very important in one result, but the other thing is that the information gets placed out there. And in talking with Mario and you today, it's the final product. And what we're talking about is delivering a tremendous product with the type of expertise that you all have to do this. Could you tell people your website?
Our website is www.lantawood.com. lantawood.org.
Okay. And we will certainly be thinking that in the next tomorrow and Friday, we'll definitely be getting in contact so that we can move further into some of the dialogue that we need to have and paper so that you can help us. Because as you said, you know, give us an opportunity to help you. You need to write what your vision is, and then we can help you with that. So we certainly appreciate that, and I thank you for taking out the time to let us know about Lana Wood. You guys also do movies, direct movies that you've had as well, right?
Actually, right now I'm standing outside waiting to go into a rehearsal.
Uh-huh.
We're producing a movie called West End Story, and this movie, we're doing it in collaboration with the West End Restoration Group.
Okay.
The belief is by creating a positive movie about the West End, which is one of the oldest neighborhoods in Georgia.
Yes, I need everybody to understand that. That is the historical area.
Yes.
Where Spelman College, right?
Yes.
Morris Brown.
Spelman College of Morris Brown. Warren's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going on. There's so many churches in the neighborhood that are almost 100 years old, you know. So we realized that by being able to take these things that are visible to the community and put it into a movie is going to go a long way to promote the community.
Because what's happening in the West End, the de-gentrification situation all over again. That they've come into the area and have been buying out a lot of our older folks, and I've had to come to rescue one or two people where
For example, this is on the subject, but you have these contractors who come in that they say they're contractors or what are they called, siding contractors, who get older people to sign a contract, and if they miss a payment, they can foreclose on your house. You know, we've had a situation that I had to rescue, jump in with my little, you know, feet first to try to show that there was a total unfairness with the lady that actually signed the contract. She was 82 years old, and the guy thought he was going to take the house. So that was something that we did. That was right there off of Ralph David Abernathy. But he didn't get the house because, you know, you can't miss what you can't measure. So we, you know, we have been swinging and punching in that West End area for some years, and I certainly appreciate the fact that when you I saw West End Story, and I said West End, and I'm thinking, is he talking about West Side Story? No, it's West End Story. Very, very strong historical district, you guys, that's in the Atlanta, Georgia metro area. A lot of people that might chime in on the call later on, because this becomes a static footprint for people. So I certainly want people to know that. And that West End Story is going to be, is that going to be a documentary or a film? Okay. Can you come back to the phone again?
Yeah, it's going to be a full feature movie, and one of the things it's going to encourage is people coming into the West End to buy houses.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, contrary to the belief, the houses here are so cheap now.
Huh?
The houses here are so inexpensive.
That's true.
You have, I mean, I went the other day to look at a house, a five-bedroom house, $50,000 looks like a castle.
Wow.
What area is that?
$50,000.
What
That's
area
on,
is that?
On Arlington. On Arlington. Actually, I think the number is 1085 Arlington. Looks like a castle. I went in.
But these houses are in foreclosure.
It says, I think it was in foreclosure, but now it's bank owned.
Okay.
It's huge with, is it 12 or 14 foot ceilings? It's
wow.
Huge. So yep. When I see something like that, when I think of somebody that lives out in Buckhead, Alpharetta, with the traffic and all the negatives. And I wonder, is it just because of the image of West End? But sooner or later, as they come back to buy back the neighborhood, and this will become million-dollar home.
Wow.
So it's incredible how it's going on.
I don't have to say anything else.
I want to chime in real quick, sir, while you're still on the phone. I was in Atlanta in November of 2007, and my friends and family there, they really impressed me with the sharing the history of Atlanta and how much it's growing and all the opportunity there. So I really believe that what you're doing is going to really take off quite well, just because there's so much opportunity down there. And I had a ball when I was there, and again, just was so amazed at the growth and all the different developments and other opportunities going on there. So I've only been down there once. I'm hoping to get down there again sometime in the spring or summer. Plus, I can get to see you, Karima.
Okay.
So yeah. So, no, I just wanted to throw that in there.
We certainly appreciate we have a caller in from 678-468. Welcome, caller.
It's out of now. Thank you.
Okay, and another caller from 651. But Namson, we appreciate you standing out in the cold, taking this call for us, and I certainly appreciate everything.
Well, thanks for having me. Let me take my
I can't hear you again.
Yes, I was saying thank you for having me today, and let me take my leave now, and I'm going to the rehearsal so that we get the West End story together.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome, and have a blessed day now.
Thanks.
I'm going to take a minute break, please.
Ancient calling and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. My face, I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
our director of our multimedia, Destiny Muhammad. As we have said before, the coalition is and will be the most formidable organization that this United States has ever seen. And our Youth Build Foundation, we have national and international recording artists who have came aboard to host series of plays, events, jazz quartets from renowned musicians and artists to raise awareness. In 2009, I guarantee you that what you will see, something that nobody else has ever done before within a short period of time. So I certainly appreciate the callers who have been faithful in coming on every week. We want to recap the folks who came on at the beginning of the show. We want to remember Mr. Fuller again in his passing, his transitioning to the other side, and all the help and that he has served our inner city communities
in providing affordable housing. And we also like to thank Michelle Uchiyama for coming on. She attended the going home party celebration for Mr. Fuller in America's Georgia to enlighten us about his role in life. We certainly want to thank her for coming on early on in the show. And to finish out, what is a part of our ultimate vision is to have the increased exposure on an online internet service for the exposure of not just the coalition, but the unjust ways that are being that are out here that's going to prevent stimulus money that is supposed to go to the people in the United States that is they're not going to see it. And I have no problem stating that to the face of Governor Perdue and any other governor that's in those 17 states that we know has done some privatization and has actually pushed out minority men and women altogether. I certainly have no regrets in being straightforward about the people that are part of the coalition, the core group. They are soldiers. They are queens and they are kings. And there's even little princes and princes that are walking around who are badged to move this vision forward because it's real simple. A charge to keep we have, ladies. We must be found faithful. And 1 Corinthians 4 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I keep on my desk the song that my aunt and my father and my grandmother and my uncles who have passed on used to sing. And I certainly have kept my word to God and to my and to those who have went before me to say that I am badged with this charge to keep. And I certainly want to let everybody know that in moving forward with those who do not see the vision, they are going to remain where they are. It is not for everybody. The coalition is not for everybody. Only those that know their purpose. And we used to talk about that last year in December about having a purpose and being able to be committed to that a purpose. So I certainly want to share that with everybody, and I want to also recap on one of the things that is so important to some of the ladies that are involved in construction is that we address some of the construction issues, but the only issue that I see that's most important is this stimulus packet. The stimulus packet, and the second thing is the money that's already there that's been smothered as if it's not there because money has still been in the budget and they're just acting like it's not there. So the other thing is that we receive each month a publication called Construction Claims Monthly, and we'll start posting that on the blog. But a lot of the information is about arbitration. One of the things is about the contract clause can obstruct your claim. Contractors do not know what they're signing a lot of times when they sign a construction contract. they're so happy that they sign a contract. Here's an article that says contractor entitled to $1 million for oral contract modification that obstructed performance. This is the city of Gillett, Wyoming, and Hackley Construction, Inc., the Supreme Court of Wyoming, 2008, and it has the cited clause 134, 2008, Wyoming status, Statute 07-0291, Statute
07-0292, statute 07-0293, November 14th. See, that's what happens when your parents let you go to college and be anything you want to be, because I took up construction law. So I just want everybody to know this is real. This is trained. This is good Maggie Bowens Freeman and Janora Bowens money that you hear when it comes to this. So thank you guys. But making oral modifications to a contract can be a tricky business. That's why a contract was able to argue that an owner's oral instructions, which directly conflicted with the language of the construction contract, interfered with the work performance and warranted a jury award of a contract of more than $1.1 million in delayed damages. And how many times have we had superintendents say, I want you to do it this way, I want you to do it that way, and you do
always
it.
Get it in writing, no.
Well, they apparently...
No. Or you have a tape recording on site so you can tape what he's saying, because once it comes down to payment, then he'll state that I did not say that. Or you made those revisions without my knowing it. So, therefore, I do not have to pay you for those revisions that you made.
There's a lot more to it, but after further evidence showed that the architect did have authority to bind the city to some of the project matters, because the architect told them to do it. And the city said, no, he couldn't have told him that. And apparently, according to this case, this is a case study that was just released in 08, that the city had a failure to timely act on Hackley's change order request, also represented a failure to cooperate. So the court found that the Hackley learned that the concrete supplier was required to request the change orders and the substitute. So the judge said, "Hey, they gave him $1.1 million. I'm just telling you what happened."
So he was paid for his work.
He was paid for his work.
Okay.
It's a lot more language here. This will be posted online. One of the things it says, another article says you won't squeeze a penny out of architects and engineers if no duty of care relationship existed. Now that talks about contractor engineering firm out of the district of Vermont, and it actually just speaks on the fact that that the architect submitted inadequate plans and specifications that pretty much made the man lose a bunch of money, and the court agreed and they paid him. So I guess it has something to do when you go to – a lot of people do not feel that they have, nothing to go on. They said damages provision gives government justification to slap contract over a $60,000 bill for delays. This is a naval case. And what I'm doing is just reading to you this publication, which is tremendous in terms of being able to relate other incidents that are happening with the ladies throughout the country. There's something that talks about arbitration and clauses can be unilateral, but acting party can't jump into litigation. So with that being said, there's some things about requests for RFPs, how to do the bid, a case that talked about a bid protest. And so these are things that the ladies are going to start to see, men and women are going to start to see on our blog site that they can go back and reference, because this whole situation is really geared toward bringing people together and information together to understand some of their rights. Because a lot of times even the lawyers don't want to bother with it, and they'll tell you something wrong. They'll just tell you, no, you don't have a case. And quite frankly, these are cases, actual cases that's been cited throughout the country that pretty much Ms. Freeman says that this guy got paid. He got his money. It's a little more tricky to it, but when an architect tells you, I said superintendent, but when an architect tells you to do something and he's trying to make up for something he didn't draw properly, he did more damage than he did good. So they paid out. I'm sure the city went after his error and omissions on the contrary. But you're right in terms of the typically you need to get it in writing. Everybody should get it in writing. We've had that experience where people just said, do this, do that, and then it's time to be paid. And they said, I didn't tell you to do that. So, we look at that all the time. We look at those type of scenarios, and you got a lot of tricky people, like you said, Ms. Freeman, that, would go back and say, I didn't say that. And the work is done, and, by even a smaller contractor, you're looking to be paid for that work. And
well, as a small contractor, you can't afford to do work free without getting paid for the work that you've done.
Absolutely. And we got a caller from 952. Are we still on the line? Because we got about 14 minutes.
I sure am.
Nine minutes left into the show. And anybody have anything left to say regarding our guest that was on today? Please speak now. I certainly appreciate this. This has been a great show. I think it's always a good show whenever you can throw on a switchboard and people are listening to you and they are taking on what you have to say. And it becomes a static footprint. A lot of people look at the fact that we have so much traffic on the switchboard, but a lot of people come back in, hit our site, and go back through the different shows, and it gives a different kind of quality from time to time. But it's actually time to be completely serious because we are very, very, very much in a war right now. Very serious situation going on right now, and we really, if we are who we say we're supposed to be, we must move heaven and earth to make this production come into place because the word can't get out any quicker. I can almost assure you that ABC, NBC, and CNN will not air this this information. Because if the information was volatile as it is, when you steal $340 billion and they only put it on Fox for like 5 seconds and nobody else says anything about it, those people that stole the money are still hovering around. Don't you agree? Hello?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. So anyway.
Sorry, I had you on mute again. Yes, I agree. Sorry, it seems like a little slow responding.
Oh, that's fine, guys. I think we serve our purpose every week in doing the homework and the research and understanding where we are. I have a lot of people who have approached us and have stated, this one organization is about to do the sign-on letter. I'm like, well, that's a done deal. We just have to keep setting the standards, and our goal is to have other women do become a part of other Infinity organizations, because the more groups there are, the more voices there are. The more people have raising higher consciousness of thought and ability to be able to move and be more conscious of what the real problems are. A lot of people do not understand that, they're more the Capitol right now talking about the injustices in the state of Georgia, but, they're talking to a bunch of people who don't really care. They didn't care, they didn't care enough to vote the Zaxby Chambliss out. So now all of a sudden they have a problem. They didn't turn out the vote here to put the person that they felt was going to be in office. So anything that they get that comes to them here, I figure they should get it. That's where I feel about it. If you don't have the mindset to fight when you have opportunity to fight and you choose not to fight, hey, guess what? You get what you deserve. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So the last thing that I wanted to kind of go over, you guys, was that, again, I want to thank Mario Coleman for doing a wonderful job. I'm sure you guys enjoyed him last week.
Oh, he was fantastic. I was so impressed with him, Karima, because he was so down to earth in that whole conversation and very engaging. In fact, I thought he and Henrietta both made the whole show really engaging, and it was just so much fun to be a part of that that whole conversation. And, yeah, I agree with you. He did a wonderful job.
Well, he hosts his own show every Monday at 11 o'clock Eastern time. And he does a spoken word, very adult, erotic spoken word, and has a very strong following. He has a very, very tranquil voice, a very, very good speaker, very well thought. He is also going to be, if you liked him just doing the show, just imagine the job they're going to do in putting together the movie, the documentary. I mean, it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be absolutely, you know, you're going to have Destiny Muhammad in the, you know, with the music in terms of the background. We're going to have some things that's composed by Ayana, a few other recording artists. So we have an arsenal of people and opportunities that are coming forth. And so, you know, I just wanted to share that with everybody. You know, this is building. This is building great momentum. And I want everybody to understand that we really did not start putting the engine, fire, you know, coal into the fire or wood into the fire until September. We actually put down our last concrete work in September, on September 18th. And so what people don't understand is this all just started to come into fruition more so than anything in September. So just imagine September, October, November, December, January. That's 4 months. So just imagine 1 year from now, the momentum where we will be at. And, I mean, we started over, you know, since 2002, but just getting the momentum together, it just started in September. So this is going to be a rocket, and it's going to be like a nuclear explosion. On the, you know, we're already imploding on the scene, but we will be heard as women of color. And I want to thank Ms. Freeman again for being online, and we want you to tell everybody about your health and wellness website, please.
The website is www.preventbiz.com. That's upreventbiz.com. Thanks.
Okay, and we have our new and wonderful National Director of Membership and External Affairs. We have Michelle Mills.
Thank you.
And we certainly want everybody to know her email address.
It is M-E-M-I-L, sorry, y'all, Michelle Mills at N. I have two email addresses, ncwcc.org and MEMills@hotmail.com.
Okay. Well, Michelle, we certainly appreciate it. All the rest of the guests have kind of logged off, and I'm certainly appreciative of everybody, you guys. And we have a couple other people calling from 651, and we know that's not going to happen. And I got a couple other callers, so I guess they're streamlining online. These numbers come up at 111-111. That's when they log in online. So I certainly appreciate everybody, and got 90 minutes left into the show, so I want to thank everybody, and hopefully everybody gets closer to their dream. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.